Welcome to the PTMO podcast. Another edition of the live Q&A this week. Before we get into that, I just want to make here a little nod to people in the UK, the gyms. Obviously, Wales has just opened yesterday. Northern Ireland's yet to go. But common thing that I just wanted to give a few thoughts on that we're hearing from quite a lot of trainers. Obviously, there's been time added into your week in regards to going back into the gym. And obviously, from the last like 15 months on and off, it has been predominantly working from home, working online, working in parks, one-to-one, etc., a mixture of the three, doing Zoom sessions, etc., etc. And now you've had, obviously, your face-to-face business come back in, and that's taken up a certain amount of time. If you're working service hours for gym, that's also taken up some time. So just a few thoughts, really, and hopefully this will help a few of you out there that are dealing with maybe a little bit of overwhelm, maybe a little bit of lack of energy with the gyms reopening. I think, first of all, just have a bit of a check-in on what your business goals are, what you want your business to enable you to do. Essentially, we work to live. We don't live to work, as the saying goes. But yes, there is absolute time to hustle and to be productive and to be busy. Now, we're all busy. But just have a little bit of a review on the last couple of weeks being back in the gym. What's taken a back seat a little bit, that's given you the return over the last kind of 14, 15 months. Organize your time into blocks so that you're effectively, with the want of better phrases, you're not being a slave to your business, so to speak. And I say that in regards to having lots of clients that are coming back to see you face to face, dictating when they train. And having your time and your schedule spread out over kind of 7 days, which is a very common thing. So that's the first thing. The second thing is work a week in advance. So instead of getting to Friday and trying to play catch up, which obviously brings a level of anxiety and a bit of pressure, and then it's that ambivalence, isn't it, on what to focus on, when to focus on it, et cetera, et cetera. So instead of playing catch-up, work on getting ahead of the week. So instead of getting to the Friday and catching up on the week missed, get to Friday and work on the plan and work on planning for the week ahead so that you're prepped and focused on what time you're spending where, when you're doing your programming, your check-ins, your feedback, your sessions, your online coaching, your programming, so that you are working a week ahead. Get the social media boxed off so you've got a minimum dose of posts scheduled in, content going out, both for marketing purposes and also for client management purposes if you're running a Facebook group. So always work a week ahead if possible so that you are looking forward rather than having a bit of anxiety looking backwards with the work piling up. So hopefully that's giving you some context, a few little pointers there, and review your week, guys. Like, keep on reviewing it. Use accountability, whichever way that works for you. Whether it's for the guys on the group, using that Friday as a nod to your business and a reflection on your week and a plan for the next week. For the guys that aren't on the group, you know, just mark out and schedule a little bit of time on a Friday or at the end of your week to just ask yourself some critical questions that will elicit some thoughts and reflection and help you plan for the week ahead. And the last thing I'll say is try not. It's great that you've got clients that have come back that maybe you haven't seen for a while and your revenue's gone up once the gyms have opened and we're having this kind of January peak, so to speak, of the industry with the gyms reopening. Do not let that lure you into a false sense of security. Be incredibly proactive about generating leads, be incredibly proactive about building your ecosystem of leads that you can market to in 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. Do not rest on your laurels of the fact that people have come back. You've had a boost in revenue, which has been fantastic and so well needed and deserved by the fitness industry. But do not let that give you a false sense of security. Do the work, consistently market, consistently lead generate, build your ecosystem so that you've got a pool of people you can talk to, engage with, build rapport with, give a added value to, and proactively bring into your business when you need to. So that was just a couple of minutes, guys, on a few thoughts on around that point. Hopefully you'll get a few pointers from the live Q&A. Lots of diverse questions this week from, you know, how many hours should I spend on the gym floor, lead generating, what's productive, what isn't. We've got questions about converting group coaching, 6 week group coaching into a recurring service, books and podcasts to learn, and the go-to people to learn nutrition off, and a few more. So hopefully you get a lot from this. Like always, guys, drop us an email if you have any questions or want anything answered on next week. We have 4 days left of the May intake. To sign up for the May intake on the PT Business Transformation Program. So if you've been on the fence, you want to learn a little bit more about it, there's a link in the show notes. Click on that, you'll get an automatic email through giving you a little bit of insight into it. If you still have questions, please drop us a line and we're happy to jump on a call, and it's not a sales call or anything like that. We just answer any questions that you may have on the course, what it's going to give you, how it runs, etc. Always happy to do that. And have a great week, guys. And for the guys, anyone listening in Wales, have a great first week back in the gyms. Good morning or afternoon, depending on what time we post it. It's a few nightmares with Zoom today. They have decided to, I feel like I've gone back 14 months. Remember when everyone was trying to figure out how to work everything?
Hey. What was the other piece of software that we used initially?
Buzzfeed or something like that.
No, it wasn't. It was something similar to that. But anyway, it looks as though when you go into the Facebook group, it looks as though Facebook has really sorted out the way they do lives, but I'm just not prepared to figure it out in 2 minutes because it looks quality. Mm. But when you bring someone on, you bring them on in a window. But when it said that you were attending, when it said I could see one person, but it didn't tell me who. So, but you can add the people who are on there. So you can do multiple people again in a Facebook group live. But you just wasn't coming up in the list. Now, I know this is really shit listening and shit watching for people, but actually it might actually do you a favor, because if you stream live into your client groups, it probably is worth going and checking before you do it this week, because it's changed. Me and Nick could only stream live from Zoom onto our profile pages. Is that the same for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, imagine me turning up live on my profile page with loads of just full of like lads I went to school with, and they were like, what the fuck is he doing? Probably selling crypto or whatever other, you know, them guys in school who's done nothing with themselves and then popped up and tried to sell you crypto. Like, what a dick. So check that out, because there's something, like, it looks as though if you explore the live function. Yeah, I don't know what I meant by that. If you have a look at the live in Facebook, it's much better than it was, but you just need a bit of time to figure it out. The only shit thing about that is that if you currently record your lives to then stick on a podcast or to put them somewhere else later on, then you can't do that anymore. Facebook's being a twat, man. Just no need for it. Anyway, should we get on with this week's questions? It's not that many, actually, this week. At all.
Yes, let's crack on.
Right. Michelle's just put, I had this problem last week, nearly went mental. You can just update the app situation. I got helps within 10 minutes through Zoom's help chat box. Ask for personal assistance straight away instead of the bot answering you. Fair enough. Okay, questions.
You want to ask first?
You can go first.
When doing movement posture analysis, would you incorporate into a consultation or do it as part of the first session?
Oh, I've done both over the years. I used to end a consultation with a movement screening because then it gives you the opportunity to go off and do the programming off the back of it. And then I've also put it in what we call the setup session, where you've done the movement screening after they've paid, and then you can build the program off the back of that. I think both work. I'm not going to sit on the fence on that one. I think both work. Like, I just found that obviously the consultation normally takes 45, 60 minutes if you do it, in my opinion, properly, and you get really into the detail. So then sticking a movement screen on top of that might take that into an hour and a half. So that would be my only reasons not to do it in the consultation. It's why I changed it, because my consults were taking me nearly 2 hours sometimes off the back of the movement screening. And I basically put this setup session in place to do the movement screening and build the programming off the back of it. So both work. I don't think there's any harm. You just have to make sure. I think the biggest thing is you would only move from the consultation to a movement screening if you feel like you've got all of the information and agreement's been put in place. And then you can start to roadmap out the journey of what the client needs to be on. So, yeah, I'm going to sit on the fence of that one and say both is fine as long as time doesn't run away with yourself. What do you think, Nick?
I guess it depends on the person coming in. Like, if that's been a real big focus point or pain point for them during the conversations leading up to the consult, then it's obviously something they really want to know. So I might include it. might include it in there, or I might even do a separate session on it. But normally, it would be in the first session for me.
Sweet as a nut. Right, next one. Can I just put a bit of a caveat on top of that? Like, make sure when you're doing movement assessments, you are completely aware of how to correct that movement. I think a lot of them people do it these days because we know it's the right thing to do, but we don't necessarily know how to act on certain things. So make sure you research the living days out of exercise correction for certain natural kind of movement impingements for people. I know you would have done this 100% for the person who's asked the question, but I just think in general. I know when I first started out personal training and put a basic movement assessment in place, that's what I called it. Honestly, if I'm dead honest, I didn't know how to correct some of the movements at that point until I went on a course to learn. So just to make you all aware. Next question, how to get online clients? Currently in a 6-week challenge to continue with online service past the 6 weeks. I've got a small group of online guys. Oh, wait a minute. There's two questions, I think. How to get online clients? Currently in a 6-week challenge to continue with online service past the 6 weeks. And then the next part is, got a small group of online guys who have all been excellent, want this to continue and convert them to monthly online service. Any advice?
Yeah, a couple of different options. I think depending on how well they've gelled together, how well they feed off each other during that 6 weeks, I'd be quite tempted to continue in that kind of format. So more of a kind of group environment, maybe just a recurring payment, maybe a map out like the next kind of 6 months in regards to some focus points for them on each month as a group. I just think if they're working well as a group and it's giving them accountability and support and a bit of banter and competition, et cetera, then I would definitely look to probably continue that on a rolling recurring payment. To facilitate that, probably doing a group kind of goal setting or group next step session, maybe towards that 5th and 6th week, maybe individual messages back and forth, kind of asking how they're getting on, what are their thoughts on the next step. So you've got a bit of insight into that, even can do a survey. The ones who are one-to-one, really specific, will probably ask for it. If that's not what you want to do and you want to go, right, I want to take these X amount of people in this 6-week challenge and turn them into one-to-one clients on a monthly online service, then I'd definitely go down the route of maybe 1 or 2 weeks out before the course finishes, start to DM them if you haven't already. Start to kind of get a feel for them individually. And then towards the end, booking them in for a bit of a kind of roundup and next stage and a bit of a goal setting session, which then can obviously help you position that service. That's what I'd say. How do I make my working times more clear on social media?
You could potentially put them in your bios. I don't know if you've done it, but obviously when you register as a business on Google, you put your opening closing times on there. I don't know if you've got a landing page. So if you want to take them away from social, which I'd strongly recommend for you to all do anyway, you want to take people off social into your own network. Then obviously it'd be clearly on your landing page if you've got that there. If you haven't got that, maybe if you're asking this question because people, I don't know, are getting on to you at late times or whatever, or people are inquiring for different times, maybe you put, if they're DMing you, there's an autoresponder on your DM that tells people what your opening and closing times are and your communication hours and stuff like that, so they're clear that way. And I think they're kind of the only ways that you can do really. Obviously you're limited with your bio with the number of characters that you can use, so it might not be something that you want to put in your bio because you want to direct that towards more of the market that you want to serve, so telling people who you work with. So then it has to be clearer from a DM auto response. It has to get people onto either a Google page, a landing page, telling them there. And I think that's about as simple as it is. And then maybe if it's that you've got available times, maybe it's you start talking about the available times that you've got free to fill. That's all I could say on that one. Do you think there is an upper limit to how much time should be spent on the gym floor each day? For context, I've been on the gym floor 6 to 7 hours a day, and then sometimes I feel a bit drained by the times it comes to time on my business side of things and social media content creation where the quality has dipped last couple of weeks. I know a better night's sleep will help slightly, but wanted to get your opinions on it.
And said, messing me with a bit more context on that. Is there any? So we just put. I'm also meant 7 hours worth of lead gen a day on most days on the gym floor, and whether this was potentially too much and if my time could be spent elsewhere. So there's a couple of things that I would consider here. Definitely, you've got to manage your energy. God, I remember how draining it can be. And that's more kind of sometimes built up in your own head in regards to what you're getting from that. So, first of all, I would kind of look back and kind of go, right, what's my return on that time I've spent on the gym floor, first of all. So is there a particular time during that 6 to 7 hours where I'm getting a bigger return, or I'm feeling a little bit more energetic, or energy is high, and double down on that time? 7 hours is just subjective. Yes, it could be way too much for some people, and for other people, no, it couldn't be too much. But I think it all depends on, first of all, what the return is you've had from that, what your goal is from it. And even if you might look at, even if you recognize on reflection, right, first 2 hours is I'm firing all cylinders, and that's where I'm getting the majority of my leads. Right, let's have a bit of a break. Let's split it up a little bit to manage your energy, maybe go on to social, et cetera, come back to it. It's hard. It's a hard thing to say, because it completely depends on what you're trying to achieve from it. And also, I think the key thing here, mate, is what have you gained from it over the last couple of weeks? Like, how many leads, contact details, et cetera, is a more time efficient way of doing it. So those are the questions I start to ask myself from doing that. I mean, if you're asking the question, it's probably too much, like 6 to 7 hours, and you're noticing that other things are being affected by that. So maybe scaling that back a little bit, maybe splitting those times up. So the time that you're actually on the gym floor is way more high energy, way more productive. So I'd just have a look at those things, mate, and have a bit of an answer. And also, you know, is that 6 to 7 hours straight through? Are you breaking it down into maybe half an hour blocks, hour blocks, and then breaking that down again into like little bit of focus points, like where you're situating yourself on the gym, meet and greets, introduction areas, technique correction, doing a little bit of a raffle for people, doing a coach's corner, handing out food diaries to people. There's so much you can do, but I would just say, have a look at what you've achieved over the last couple of weeks from it. Marry that up with what your goal is from doing it and your goal for your business. Don't do those things align. And then just kind of look at that breakdown of the time. What's high energy? What's the best time that you're in there and you're getting the return? And then plan accordingly after that. But is 6 to 7 hours too much? God, I used to spend 12 hours on the gym floor first starting out. Was tough, but those weren't 12 hours solid. So I just consider those things, mate, and come back to us. Pop a comment in the below the video, pal. Anything to add?
No, I don't think so. Apart from just obviously lead generating the times that you want to fill, I think that's just a really important stick into your head, because that gives you that level of intent and going, right, I'm going on this gym floor now to see who's in consistently, and that's it. But nothing else is spot on. You've done all right with that for once. Next question. It's yours.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to sign up for this month's EIQ nutrition course, but I'm going to have to give it a couple of months until I have spare time to be able to put all into it. In the meantime, are there any books or podcasts that you'd recommend related to nutrition?
You know what? I'm a bit out of the loop book-wise on nutrition, because I've been looking at different areas of things in the past year or so. The previous books, Motivational Interviewing for Nutrition and Fitness is always the go-to book for us, because it helps you coach. It helps you stay within your lane and coach well. So it's always my first choice when it comes to that. The Hungry Brain is a decent book to look into more of the science behind dealing, like there's little bits in there about kind of brain signaling and hunger and satiety and some elements on eating disorders, lots of evidence and lots of science. So if you want to go that deep, it takes a lot of you. It took me a lot to stay switched on with that book. So that was another good book. And apart from that, what other books would I recommend from a nutrition perspective? Oh, there's so many more. Tell you who to message, because they keep she keeps putting up quite a few decent books on nutrition at the minute, is Amelia. Either Amelia or Sky's read a hell of a lot of nutrition-based books. So like Sky Asquith, if you follow her. I'm a bit out of the loop from a nutrition perspective, but you won't go far wrong with motivational interviewing in nutrition and fitness. Like, that'll help you stay in your lane, and it'll help you coach well from a nutrition perspective. But if you want to understand more specifically about nutrition, I'll maybe ping some books into the group later on, once I've not got as much brain fog going on in the head, and I can think of more. Podcast-wise, again, I'd stick to, if you want to do EIQ, I'd stick to listening to Emma and Amelia as much as possible. So listen to their podcasts as much as you possibly can. Martin McDonald's, I've not listened to one of his episodes yet, if I'm dead honest, but he's got his podcast back up and running. So I would probably have a listen to that. And I would hunt through Lift the Bars and just search out any type of nutrition-based conversations that they've had with any people that have been on there. That would be my advice. Is there any book? Mate, I can't think of any books. I've got a brain freeze. I think I'll ping some.
Not really. The only other thing I would maybe add in there is Sigma Nutrition.
It's fucking very deep, that, though. Like, very evidence-based.
And the only thing I would say is, in addition to that, I would take maybe a bit of a subject or an area that you might, like Emma's podcasts are really good because they're really digestible, aren't they? So maybe take a couple of subjects that are related to what you want to learn about, or what your market deals with, or what you want to kind of understand a little bit better, and use things like PubMed and Examine to just start to read a few research papers on those particular subjects, just to give you some perspective, giving you some bit of data maybe. I think those are the best places to go off the top of my head. And learning wise, I would maybe even treat it as like you're building out your education content for your clients.
Yeah, that's one.
I think that'd be a focus. But when you think of it like that, so let's say, for example, I want my clients to understand energy balance, thermodynamic, blah, 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 then maybe find a couple of podcasts on that. Go to the section of a couple of books and look at those and read that up. Do a bit of research on PubMed or Examine, et cetera, and just extract that kind of data and put it in a way that your clients will understand. I think that's probably a really nice, easy way of learning, not at pace, not to kind of put pressure on you, but ultimately that information is to help your clients. So if you can break it down and learn about one subject at a time, it might just help. Just an idea.
But buzzing that you're going for that EIQ course, I think there's loads in this group on that now. Or about to be. So that's class. Next question. When do you decide if something is worth the effort or not? Thinking of projects and online group intro stuff, when do you do the cost-benefit analysis and decide to stop or keep going? Do you complete it and see how it goes, or survey first, then do it? A really good question, that is, actually. Really good.
Okay. The only way, the first way I'm going to tackle this is supply and demand, problem solution. So if there's a problem from your current clients and you're developing this for your current clients, and that is a solution to their problem, which is going to help them get the results they want and help coach them in a better, more efficient way, see it through. You're not going to waste. The thing is with that kind of stuff, and I don't know what you're particularly talking about, that's why I'm going at it at two angles. You're not particularly going to waste that type of content because you can repurpose it. So I would see it through. The second thing is we can get very caught up in this thing that we've been working so hard on for so long, and then just put it out there. It doesn't get the kind of response we want due to the fact that we haven't created much context behind it. There might not have been that initial demand or problem that it solves. And so that feedback from the expectations you have might not be met. So I think if it's something you're releasing, then potentially work on a little bit longer lead time of putting some context behind it, creating some excitement behind it, and then seeing it through and going out. I think it's always worth, I think those are the two things that I would have a think about and have a question about. Because you put survey first, then do it. So I'm not sure if that means you have, if that's come directly off your clients or audience, or if it's just something that you've thought was a good idea. So if that's the case, then yes, probably a good idea. When do you decide if it's worth the effort or not? Without knowing enough context, that's probably, you need to see stuff through, but I think you also need to look at, right, the objective of your business, the clients you're serving, the challenges and problems they are having, and whatever you're working on, solve that. Have they directly asked for that? Have they directly had a voice against something that has been challenging them over time? Is it more efficient for you to deliver something that's going to help them? So those are the types of questions I'd ask. I'm not sure what else to recommend.
I think with running any project, I think this is where a lot of personal trainers underestimate what they do. So if you're bringing any new project to life, and that project could be a new service, it could be a new marketing campaign, it could be an event, it could be whatever it is, personal trainers do underestimate the planning side of that. And which normally means that first one, which is fine because you've took action and just pressed on with it, but that normally means the first one or two aren't that great in terms of you haven't had that much return from it in regards to people on it, people doing it, people engaged with it, people getting results from it, right? And that's okay because you've took action. But could you have planned it? And I'm talking about everyone in general. Could you have planned it more effectively? I'd say 99.9% of the time, most personal trainers underestimate the plan to do the project. So in my opinion, when you put here survey first, then do it, I would always do market research before any product. Think of it as that if you worked for a big corporate commercial business and they're starting with a new product, they'll go out and see what the market is delivering first, do some competitor analysis on other things, get a vibe for that, maybe even pay to be in one of those, take some information from that, then maybe do some market research off the back of it. So there'll be a competitor analysis, market research, and then you can go, right, this is what the market wants and needs. And then off the back of it, what I want to do is deliver this. So it might be that I want to deliver this online group program. It relies on a volume of people. So there has to be a process to that, which might be a 3-month marketing campaign, never mind a month. And you start off with the end goal and reverse engineer it back with milestones. And I know we've talked about that like loads. But essentially, then you have to have like a project management sheet. You have to have a timeline to this. You have to have certain milestones. You need to have targets and goals to achieve. You have to run it like a business. And again, this is to everyone, not just to reply to this question. Like, do not underestimate how much planning that needs to go into delivering products like a brand new product or a service. Because the more you do that process that I've just gone through, obviously the better it's going to land, the more efficient it's going to land, the more you can look back and go, do you know what? It was 75% there, but I'm going to tweak this and this next time and go again. Instead of it being, right, I'm just going to turn this on and in a month's time, I expect this, which is what most people do. So yeah, I would go through that process personally. Next one.
I'm in two minds of what to do when the gyms open back up in Ireland. Don't know whether to go all in online or split half online and half in person. Any guidance? I know this is probably a personal preference at the end of the day.
You have to go back to, I think it is personal preference, you're right. You have to go back to what you want and need. And it's back to the drawing board in a sense of sit down. What's the outcome that you want for you and your business in, say, 12, 18, 24 months' time? What will that give you that you haven't got now? Them goal-setting based questions, all of that. And then I would start to ask yourself some questions on values, on where your passion lies, and just have a massive self-analysis of where you want to go, where you're currently at, where you want to go, and what you're really passionate about and what you enjoy the most. Because that's where you should lean your time towards, like whatever you're passionate about and what you enjoy the most. And then you can go all in on that, knowing that you're chasing something that you love, that you enjoy. And you might turn around and say, well, I love online and I love offline, which is fine, like absolutely fine. But without that, without sitting down and having a real honest conversation with yourself, going through goal setting, going through your values, going through what you're passionate about, you're always going to have that what if and what do I do and what do. And what you want to do is make a decision, just go all in on that decision. So that would be my advice. I know it's not great, but I would form and shape some questions and have a good chat with yourself to see what you're most passionate about and what aligns with your goals and values. Anything you'd add, Nick? Was that a no?
Thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree with what Anne said. I think there's a lot to be said for what your strengths and weaknesses are as well in regards to personality-wise, what you want to improve on, whether that's, I don't know, confidence, whether that's getting a wide range of experience, talking to people, finding things out from people on the gym floor, that type of thing. I think there's a lot to be said for that, depending on where you're at. So maybe a little bit of a kind of self-reflection on, you know, what you want to improve on from a business perspective, but kind of relate to that, to the experience that you can pick up on the gym floor, both personally, communication skills, just experience kind of being on the kind of other side of the desk, for example. And there's quite a lot to be said for it. Not doesn't have to be, but I think there is quite a lot to be said for it. Next.
I've found quite a few clients just want weekly sessions and don't want to pay extra for program check-ins, etc. I don't mind that to a certain extent, but it would be nice to have more people on packages where I can get them better results and be paid more for it. Do you have any advice on this? Should I still take on these clients or on how to convince them to go for the full package? Great question, this.
Okay, so this is a key thing, and it comes down to first of all, who the demographic is. You know, if you're working with quite a high-end, if you're working with a quite experienced exerciser, maybe they're training for an event, more than likely that accountability, new take on the program is probably going to be high on their agenda. If your demographic is general pop, then it really comes down to the consultation, the way you bring them in, you know that, but more so the consultation from a perspective of they need to establish it. If they've got a barrier or a challenge with nutrition and they are fully understanding about the impact that challenge or barrier has on them achieving their results, you've got to position the questions during that consultation so that they are having, they're creating that value behind it versus you trying to convince or just offering that as an option. So that's a really, really key thing. And if it's not, like if that's ticked off and they're, and the demographic is a little bit more experienced, then happy days. But it really comes down to how you position those questions, particularly on their past, finding out about from the pre-consult, what they've done before, what's led them to this point. Why do they think that that's been a challenge for them? Where they're at presently, what's the sticking point? What are they struggling with? What is their education kind of gap that you need to help to fill? And so as, you know, and that question, like, what do you feel, what support do you feel you need with that? What do you think is going to help you out? Like, what support do you need from me? That's the, in for want of better terms, that's the kind of question you want to get to, which they're going to then tell you, well, I need this, or I need this, or that's going to be really, really helpful, or etc. And so when you're kind of right, let me just write that down to make sure we come back to that and summarize at the end, blah, 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 check-ins, nutrition call, whatever, right? Whatever it is. So they're selling themselves, but you're positioning the questions in a way where they can reflect and understand that this is an important element of them achieving their goal. And then positioning everything and not itemizing those maybe three or four different things into price points. That's the key thing, and bringing it around in an overall price point rather than what I'd imagine it comes down to is kind of segmenting that very much so, rather than presenting it as a full package. So yeah, that's without knowing more context, that's probably what I'd say, because again, if you're positioning hours of PT, and that's what they know and that's what they value, that's what they're going to go for. If they don't understand how X, Y, and Z is going to help them, and you're just trying to kind of have it as an add-on, then more than likely they're going to reject it.
Yeah, and the only thing I'd add to that is a very direct return on it. It is a sense of, like, I would honestly be as direct as, if that's all you want, you're not going to get what you want from this. And understandably, a new PTs would be sat there thinking, yeah, but we need the money. I get that completely. But 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks down the line, these people aren't going to change. They're going to struggle if they're just relying on the hours of PT with you. So I would be strong enough to turn around and go, listen, I'm going to lay it out on the table to you now. If that's all we're having going forward, then you're going to struggle to see the results that you want for the money that you're paying. I would be that direct. Yeah, that would be my additional spin on it. That's it.
Sound as a pound. Guys, any additional comments from those questions, pop it into underneath the video when we post it on the group. And yeah, man, a couple of things want to address and just bring up as a little reminder. Sorry. First of all, like with the business review, when you go through it next month, get as detailed as you can in the following month's goals. Because that would really, really help kind of dial in all the other things. That's the one thing I've just read over a few of them over the last couple of days. Just dial into that detail of those goals for the following month. It will really, really help. And anybody on the group listening to this back, obviously it's a couple of weeks into the gym now, getting into a routine. It's very evident talking to lots of PTs that a lot of the time is a real big challenge at the moment with or has been over the last few weeks. So use that accountability on a Friday to keep you on track, to help you reflect, to give you those habits on a weekly basis that are leading into reviewing your business and understanding what's happened, what went well, what didn't go so well, what was the return, and what I need to improve for the month after. So just a little nod to those two things for everybody on the group. Anything to add, Adam?
No, all good.
Happy days. See you soon.
See you in a bit.